all-time high health challenge and a wellness challenge and a wealth challenge. And those are the two prominent issues that are facing America today. I read this. People are addicted to pharmaceuticals, and they will never get healed or cured by pharmaceutical medicine. 60% of our American population is overweight. 90% of illnesses are related to stress, dehydration, and malnutrition, which is poor nutrition. And 60% of that can be prevented through proper nutrition, diet, and exercise. So God is getting information to us, and He wants us to take a proactive approach to our health rather than a reactive approach. So I want to make sure that we have our ears on to hear and that our hearts are ready to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is going to say through us from our speaker today. And it's my privilege and my honor to introduce our speaker today, Tiffany Moore. Y'all give her a hand. Tiffany has been a fitness instructor, or is a fitness instructor, and she also has a degree in kinesiology. Is that right? So she's going to help us today. She's going to give us some practical information to help us to eat better, and then we're going to have a physical challenge. So if you will welcome Tiffany Moore.
Thank you all. Are you excited? It's so funny because we told y'all were going to be on teams, and y'all was like, "Woo, y'all don't even know what y'all going to be doing. Y'all could be running around the dome." But no, I am excited to teach you guys about health, because a lot of times we are in the spiritual, but we never have the natural aspect of it. And so Satan is very sneaky, and he can come and try to devour you in ways that you might not even know. So I think the food aspect, and I'm very passionate about nutrition and health, and I think the food aspect is one of the ways that Satan tries to challenge, especially Christians, in the eating part. So if you could, just make sure you listen with your natural ears and your spiritual ears as well, because it's not just spiritual, but it is natural stuff that we're dealing with as well. When I was in Miami, there are Hispanic and Caucasian women there, and they love to work out. I mean, they just really love to work out. So I really never had many problems with those people as far as working out. Where I came to have a challenge, and there's not really a lot of African-American people in Miami, and if it is, they're Haitians or of another race. But a lot of my challenges came from our people, African-American people. And every time I tried to get them to work out, they was like, "Well, I can't do this. I'm tired today. My head hurt. It's just that time of the month. I can't do it today." So, yeah, I just really want you guys to open up to that part of it. Also, I hear when it comes to, because we're going to start off with the food part, a lot of times people are like, "Well, that's just what I've been doing all my life. My parents have taught me how to eat like this. This is how I'm going to eat. Ain't nothing going to change." It's funny, I like to give Miss Deborah Blaylock kudos, because she tried to give us some healthy food Sunday, and the first thing was, "We ain't got no fried chicken? You ain't cooking no fried chicken?" So I want to give kudos to her. But we're going to talk about food today. So if you would, when you were younger, to my older seasoned people, when you were younger, what were some of the things that you all would eat when you were younger? Yes. To the young family.
We ate vegetables and fruit. We grew them in our yard and ate them. But
anybody else, Miss Wilma?
She covered you from the beginning. We ate fried chicken. We ate chitlins. We ate fried pork chops. We ate macaroni and cheese. We ate food that was prepared. Our vegetables were prepared with hog maw and ham hocks and fat back. And our biscuits were prepared with lard.
All right, Miss Ann.
We had fried chicken. We had fried
Miss Ann's talking, Miss Ann. What did you have, Miss?
Fried chicken, fried pork chops, fried cube steak, collard greens, turnip greens, bread, and cabbages.
Okay. All right, so we're going to talk about some of the changes from in the past to now. Some people are still eating like that now, but now we have a new epidemic where a lot of people are eating out more. They're eating a lot of more fast foods, a lot of more processed foods, a lot of things that are out. So if you would go to my next slide. It says, can you all see over there? Okay. It says modern diseases. A lot of diseases that we have now are some of the diseases that you probably wouldn't have saw when you were younger. A lot of things have come up now. A lot of times cancer ran in the family when you were younger. Nowadays, cancer is not even a part of certain people's genetics. Like, it isn't even a part of their family history. And a lot of that has to do with eating habits. Today, we are currently plagued with more diabetes. Diabetes has come to an ultimate high now. Hypertension, heart disease, depression, all caused by the modern diet, okay? The weight gain and obesity. Now, we will talk about weight and obesity, but that's not our main concern. Our main concern is eating healthy. But the weight gain and obesity epidemic is a result of unhealthy, overprocessed, sweetened, refined, and fake foods. Excessive stress is often caused by the modern lifestyle, and it can slow or halt the weight loss. So if you would go to the next slide. Some of those modern diseases that we have, heart disease. I've researched what were some of the leading causes of death in the United States. Heart disease is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. The third leading cause is stroke. Together, they are the most widespread and the most costly health problems in the nation. Michelle Obama is big about health and working out and eating. A lot of that has to do because it costs a lot. She's a very smart woman. So she wants to make sure that it's not taken away from that as far as finances go. More than $500 billion is used in health-related expenses. So you can see right there why she is a big advocate for eating healthy and changing your diet. Because she knows that that can be a big expense as far as that goes. Fortunately, they are also among the most preventable health conditions. So even though heart disease is one of the leading causes of death and stroke is the third leading cause, they're preventable. The leading risk factors for heart disease and stroke are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cigarette smoking, diabetes, poor diet and physical activity, overweight and obesity, okay? So like I said, we're not going to be really talking about overweight and obesity as much. We will hit some of that. But a lot of it can do to a high cholesterol from what you're eating. A lot of it can do from high blood pressure from what you're eating, and also diabetes from what you're eating. Next slide. This is an example of someone's heart, and around it are fat cells that's around it, okay? So a lot of times people have heart disease or heart problems. This is what their heart looks like. So this part right here is the heart, and then around it is fat cells. So if your heart is trying to work, and all of that fat is around it, it's taking it a hard time. So a lot of times it can lead to stroke, or it can lead to stress. On top of that, can lead to an early death. If you will go to the next slide. All right, the weight gain, obesity, and disease epidemic is a result of unhealthy, because if you remember, we said that it is unhealthy, overprocessed, sweetened, refined, and fake foods we call junk food. So as I was going through it, I was like, well, what can we talk about? You know, I don't want to get into all of the terminology and different things, so I said, let's tackle junk food. So we're going to talk about junk food today. All right, next slide. So what is junk food? Can somebody tell me what junk food is? Anybody know what junk food is? Can you spend? Foods with no nutritional value. Anybody else? Okay. So she is right. That is what junk food is. If you go to the next slide, this junk right here is what we call junk food. If you go to the next slide. In medical terms, junk food may be defined as any of the prepackaged snack foods high in calorie content but low in nutritional value. So like she said, it has no nutritional value to it. They did a research for McDonald's, and they, in 2008, they had a hamburger and fries, and they let it just sit there for a whole year, and then they got a new one, and it looked the exact same. So it has stuff in it that makes it not change the aspect of it, because it has no nutritional value into it. If you would go to the next slide. Junk foods are also referred to as empty calories because they are very high in energy but lack in micronutrients such as vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fiber. Okay, so you are eating food and you might be getting full off of it, but you're not getting your nutrients that you need. So that can also lead to some of the diseases that we had talked about earlier. You will go to the next slide. All right, examples would include salted snack foods. So we have some people in here who love Lay's potato chips. Candy is another example. Gum, most sweet desserts, so donuts I have down there if you see. Fried fast foods or any fast food particularly. Carbonated beverages such as sodas are some of the major junk foods. Generally, they offer little in terms of protein, vitamins, minerals, and a lot of calories from sugar or fat. Okay. Of course, it's important to have your vitamins and minerals and proteins in order for your body to function. So if you would go to the next slide. All right. So a lot of times people say, well, time is money, or I have to make sure I get something quick. I want something quick, so I'm just going to go and grab something that's fast food, okay? The question at the bottom, it says, are they really cost-effective? Then it says, fast foods are convenient, time, and cost-efficient to consume now, but they can be very expensive when it comes to repairing the damage they cause to the body. So you are eating junk foods now, and it's cost-effective now, but if you have diabetes or if you have hypertension or if you have high blood pressure, it can cost you in the long run. So you'll end up paying more than you would in the long run than now. So fast food restaurants, they like to maximize in their profits. So the vast majority of fast food industries focus on selling cheap to produce foods and drinks loaded with refined carbohydrates and hydrogenated fat or trans fat. Okay, that's what they focus on because it's cheaper. They like to focus on those foods that are cheap to produce. So a lot of times you're paying $1 for a cheeseburger and $1 for a french fry, but it'll pay off in the long run. But they taste so nice. Fast food restaurants, they like to deliberately formulate to make your taste buds addicted to it. So that's their MO. That's what they strive to do. And some of you all might be thinking, well, how bad can they really be for me? Fast foods can contain toxic amount of sugar, so it has a lot of hidden sugar. A lot of times you might not see it on the label, but it has what we call hidden sugars in it. Insulin is released to get sugar out of the bloodstream. Okay? Insulin removes sugar from the bloodstream and puts it into storage. When it's too much sugar in your bloodstream, the only place to put this excess sugar is into what we call fat, okay? So a lot of times you might read a food label and it might not have any fat grams, but it might have a lot of sugar. Sugar turns into fat if it gets excessive. Your body becomes an efficient fat storage machine. People who regularly eat fast food are more likely to develop metabolic syndrome, and that is putting yourself at risk for heart disease and stroke. So you are at risk to be at risk with that metabolic syndrome when you eat fast foods. From fast food restaurants. If you would go to the next slide. Now, if any of you all have any questions while I'm going through the slide, please just stop me and then you can ask me. Any questions so far? Okay, we'll come back. So reality check. Next slide. This will be the average size for kids in 2030 if we don't change eating habits. Now, they did a study and it said that over 80% of Americans, and this is just a picture of kids, but over 80% of Americans will look like this starting off at a young age in 2030 if the eating habits don't change now. All right, next slide. All right, so like I said, it's not necessarily just about obesity or being overweight because you can be skinny, but you can have what we call skinny fat. You may look slim, but you could be fat inside. So on the right side, it says hidden danger. Despite a normal body mass index, which is the BMI, and a thin appearance, slim people may be at risk of disease because of internal fat surrounding their vital organs. So this is an example of a 6 foot man. He has 21.7 BMI, which is a normal body fat percentage. And then around it on the yellow is internal fat that's covering his organs, okay? So you can be skinny, and a lot of times skinnier people eat more. So you can be skinny and be eating and not gain weight, but you can have what we call that skinny fat or internal fat that's surrounding your organs. And it goes back to that picture. You might be skinny on the outside, but the heart with the fat around it, your organs could be looking like that. All right, next slide. All right, so what causes overeating? Next slide. Cocaine or heroin-like effect, there was a research given that when cocaine or heroin users use drugs, it gives off happy endorphins. That's the same type of endorphins that overeating does for you. So development of obesity is coupled with a progressive worsening deficient in neural reward responses, such as in cocaine or heroin abuse. So the same way a heroin or a cocaine person takes drugs and they get aroused from it, or they get excited from it, or they have a happy endorphin from it, that's the same thing as overeating. Your body does the same thing. All right, if you will go to the next slide. Let's talk about some patterns of behavior. There are some psychological triggers that may cause you to overeat and overeat with healthy foods. A lot of times people feel like it's just genetics and this is just what they like to do. But a lot of times it can be self-sabotage. A lot of times in the middle of the night, you might wake up and go nibble and get something to eat in the middle of the night. I know a lot of men tend to do that. A lot of it can just be, I'm going to eat a little bit of this now, and then I'm going to save it. I'm going to eat a little bit more and a little bit more. And what happens is, even though you are doing little nibbles, your portion control can become too much. So you'll be nibbling on it, but sometimes our mind thinks, okay, well, if I'm nibbling on it, if I'm only doing a little bit, then I can eat a little bit more, and you end up eating more, actually. Your beliefs about your ideal size, weight, shape, and eating habits may demoralize you. Like I said, some people feel like, well, I'm just big-boned. I'm going to always be big-boned. It's just running my family, so ain't no sense in me trying to change what I eat. I'm just big-boned, and that's how it is. So that can demoralize your belief system. The blame game, blaming other people and circumstances for what you put in your mouth. I know a lot of times when people get married, their husbands like to eat junk food. And so wives say, well, my husband, he likes to eat this food, so this is why I'm eating this. Or my kids like to eat this food, this is why I'm eating this. And I have to have junk food in my house because my kids and my husband want it, so this is what I'm going to eat. So a lot of times people can blame other people for how they're eating. And then a lot of times it could be just a mental habit. A lot of times people who are depressed or who have a lot of stress tend to eat more. So you can blame your job, you can blame work for a lot of times of you overeating. To the next slide. All right, what are the impacts of junk foods to the body? Next slide. This is the impact. And like I said, this is not necessarily just overeating. Like I said, it can be internal fat on the inside too. But I have a picture here of a stomach and a hamburger on top of the water. Next slide. All right. What are some of the impacts? And when I say modern foods, I'm talking about mostly fast foods or a lot of the junk foods that we eat now. Because a lot of the foods that we eat now, we necessarily didn't eat when we were younger. Fat storage machine. The body can never use its own fat storage because it is using the energy of the food we eat to run on. So the foods that we eat gives us energy. So a lot of times people who are lacking in energy, if they change their eating habits, they will have more energy. A lot of the foods that you eat, especially like junk food, if you substitute eating out a lot, and if you're eating McDonald's, we've already said that it has no nutritional value to it. So you are trying to get energy from something that has no nutritional value. Eating fast foods can actually slow your energy down. The storage of body fats keeps increasing without getting the opportunity to be used. So if you keep eating, your body is going to turn that into fat, and then it's going to not be able to use it because it's so much fat that's being put in. Systematic inflammation, the body retains more water. This can be in two ways. A lot of times this can happen because you're not drinking enough water. A lot of times your body sends off signals saying that it's hungry, but it's in actuality you need to put more water into your body. So sometimes it's not just you being hungry, it's just you need to have water. But also the body retains more water to protect its cells from anti-nutrients in the food. So if the food doesn't have nutrients in it, a lot of the junk foods, it's going to retain water in it. And then over time, your body becomes systematically inflamed, which threatens the heart and the cardiovascular system. Okay, so basically all that saying is you want to make sure that you get food that has nutritional value in it. And if you don't, your body can become what we call systematic inflammation. So a lot of the times you'll see a water weight into it. Internal starvation, the body asks for more food. So a lot of times your body could be actually hungry and you've eaten food, but if it's junk food or if it has no nutritional value to it, it gets to a point where it's constantly wanting food because it's still hungry because it has not gotten all the nutrients that it needs. So your body can actually be hungry because you're internally, you're starving your body from the proper nutrients that it needs. All right, next slide. All right, so this is how the body processes food. In order for the body to function, as I said earlier, you need food to produce energy. A lot of that internal system that manages the energy is your metabolism. So somebody with a high metabolism, does anybody know what metabolism means? Huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he said metabolism is the rate that you process. Metabolism is the ability to burn fat, okay? So a lot of times if somebody has a high metabolism, they can burn fat faster, or they are usually able to lose weight easier or burn the fat easier. But somebody with a slower metabolism, it usually takes them a long time to do it because their metabolism isn't slow. Now, one trick to doing that, to increasing your metabolism, is to eat 6 meals a day, and I know that's like challenging for some people. Some people don't eat breakfast or they don't eat a snack in between. But that 6 meals a day includes breakfast. And breakfast is one of the most important meals that you can eat. The reason why breakfast is so important because you burn it out throughout the day. So I usually tell my clients it's better to eat a bigger breakfast than it is a bigger dinner, because the breakfast will last you throughout the day. And then you can eat a little bit more because you're going to burn it throughout the day. So you can eat a little bit more. I don't want to say cheat, but you can cheat and eat a little bit more than you would for dinner. For breakfast, because you're not going to sleep on it, you're going to be working it off. So breakfast, for people who don't eat breakfast, is one of the most important meals for you to to take up. So you would eat breakfast, then a snack. Now, snack can be almonds. It can be, we're going to go over that too, but it can be a piece of fruit. It can be a string of cheese. When you're eating 6 meals a day, your body is never going to be hungry because you have something in it all at all times. Then you would eat lunch. And then, like I said, with the lunch, you can eat something like what you would normally eat for dinner. I would eat that for lunch. And then you have another snack. And then you have dinner. Now, dinner would be something lighter, like a salad and fish, something light, because you are going to go to sleep on it. And a lot of people here, if you work late, I know the bridge team, we work late, so it's better for us to eat something lighter, to eat a bigger breakfast and a bigger lunch, but eat something lighter for dinner because we are here till 9 o'clock. And then you have another snack at the end. Like he said, Pastor Mike said, water is very important for you also as well. You want to make sure that you're getting half of your body weight in order for you to be getting enough water, so that that 8 ounces, that's really like nothing. That's like the minimum. So if you're not getting that, then your body is retaining that water, like I said earlier. So the body processes foods. The food goes into your stomach and into your intestines, enabling us to uptake energy. When that happens, your muscle uses the energy to produce movement, okay? So if you're working out, you need to have food in your system working out, because your muscles are using that for energy. If your if your body doesn't have fat to burn, then it'll use your muscle, and you'll be burning your muscles when you're working out. But you don't want to burn your muscles. You want to keep your muscles. You want to burn the fat. And the third step is accumulation of fat tissue. This is our body's way of storing any excess energy. So if we have too much food and your body can't burn it, then it's going to turn it all into fat. And then the last one is the synchronization of these four steps is controlled by the hormones insulin, which is released by the pancreas. Next slide. Yes, ma'am. How far in advance should you? An hour before. Mm-hmm. And if you eat in an hour before, for instance, if you're training or if you're doing stuff with your legs, a lot of times people won't eat, but your blood rushes down to your legs when you're working your legs, and so it'll cause you to be dizzy. So a lot of times when people are dizzy and they pass out, it's because they haven't had anything. So an hour before is when you want to make sure you get something. And you don't want it to be too heavy, but you just want it to be enough so you'll have energy to go throughout your workout. And then sometimes people will wait too late, like 30 minutes and two before, and then they'll feel queasy or they'll feel nauseous. An hour before is good. Yes. Yeah, they say that you want to eat when you wake up, at least in an hour once you wake up. In that hour when you wake up, you want to at least eat 30 minutes to an hour once you wake up. So what time do you go work out? Okay, so you wake up around 5. Okay, so in that time between 5 and 6, you should be snacking on something so your body can have energy to work out. Did that answer your question? You asked about can a person... It just gives you more. It gives you more energy to burn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Ms. Wilma. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more challenging to burn it because your metabolism slows down a little bit as you get older. But if you change your eating habits and then do the minimum 4 times a week, so your work week, then it won't be hard. You'll be maintaining. Now you're trying to, it's a difference if you're trying to lose it or if you're just trying to maintain. Okay. Yeah, if you're trying to lose it, you want to, your calorie intake, you want to make sure you're burning more energy than you're taking in your food. So if you are not working out, then you have to change it in your eating. If you are working out and changing a little bit of your eating, then you'll see more results in the area of losing weight. Yes. What's my view on energy drinks? Mm-hmm. Yeah, energy drinks have a lot of, they're loaded with sugar. So they have a lot of sugar in it. So of course it's going to give you to the point where you are going to want to work out because it has a lot of sugar into it. But like I said, that sugar over time will turn into fat. So it's kind of like taking away what you're trying to do. And I understand a lot of times people do feel like they need to get that energy, but a lot of it is not because they need an energy drink. A lot of it is because they're not getting the proper amount of rest. So that can give you more energy. I'm not a big fan of energy drinks. I know people take it, and I'm not going to say what you can and can't do. If you do, just minimize it. Don't make it a habit of doing it every time you work out because, like I said, the sugar turns into fat. Yes. Hmm. Yeah, Red Bull has one that's sugar free, but it's really not any nutritional value to it. So, there are kind that you can use, you know, for that. But I'm just old fashioned. I just feel like, you know, you just need to get proper rest, get your food and water, and you'll have the energy. Yes. The question was, what does sleep have on your lack of sleep? What is the effect that it has to burn your metabolism? Well, when you don't get the proper sleep, your body will pretty much retain more food for energy. So instead of the sleep, it'll try to keep the food that's coming in and keep it to fat. Because like I said, it turns into fat. It uses the sugar for energy. And if you keep eating the food is going to store it. And the reason why it's storing it because it doesn't have enough energy to produce energy. So sleep is a vital thing because when you don't get enough sleep, I don't know about you all, but when you don't get enough sleep, you eat more. And so if you're eating more, then you're going to retain more, like I said earlier. So that's one of the effects it'll have on your metabolism. It'll actually just slow it down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 8 hours of sleep. So a lot of times people don't get that 8 hours of sleep. Sometimes you can get too much sleep, and it can make you a little bit lax. But 8 hours of sleep is a proper amount of sleep that you should be getting. So if you're getting less than that, then you will feel it throughout the day. Huh? Is that hard for a lot of people, 8 hours? Yeah. So you just have to... You have to balance out your day. It goes back to when we were talking about time management. You really just have to work on your time management a little bit more. And a lot of it, I think, from me experience, one of the worst clients that I would have was nurses because they worked all day, every day, and they ate bad. And then they never really got their rest. So nurses had a hard time as far as it went to nutrition and eating healthy. But it is a... sleeping early is a learned habit. If you have kids, I don't understand. Well, this is just me. They would be in the bed by 8 o'clock already if it was me. But a lot of people let their kids stay up, so therefore they stand up. But if your kids going to sleep early, it'll break a habit. So when they get older, they will get more sleep. That's one of the things. And then also, you just need that downtime from work. So it's just something that you have to, because for us, I'll give you an example. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are here in the morning and we'll go on to 8, because we close at 8:30. If I'm smart enough, I will go ahead and bring my clothes and take a shower here. And then when I get home, I can watch TV or read whatever it is I need to do for a little bit and then go to sleep. But a lot of times, we don't do that. A lot of times, the reason we're not getting the proper sleep is because we just don't feel like doing extra stuff. We just don't want to do more than what we have to do. So we want to make it a little bit easier. And you can get the proper amount of sleep if you put more effort to it. So it is something that you can do. Yes, Ms. Bard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are certain fruits that has a lot of sugars, like grapes. And she said that if you eat grapes at night, will it have a lot of sugar? You said, will it have a lot of sugar for you to eat at night? there are some fruits that does have a lot of sugar, like pineapples and grapes. And so if you are taking on those sugars, then, yeah, it will end up turning to fat. Now, you can eat fruit, but like I said, that's something that you want to eat earlier during the day. If you are to the point at nighttime that you are still feeling hungry and you've eaten 6 meals a day, probably more than likely is your water. Because if you eat 6 meals a day, you shouldn't be hungry. But a lot of times people aren't eating 6 times a day. So they are going to feel hungry. But if you're eating 6 times a day and giving your proper water, then you really won't be wanting to snack like that. And then like I said, a lot of it is just preferences. We just prefer. And a lot of times our body is not hungry. We just want to snack. And we just like to nibble on stuff. So it's not necessarily that we're hungry. So you just really have to determine if you're really hungry or if you're just bored. Because a lot of times boredom can make you eat more. Any other questions? Yes. Are there certain foods? Yeah, we're going to get into it when we get into the other portion of it. Dark chocolate. It's good. I know a lot of people don't like dark chocolate, but dark chocolate is a good food. Well, almonds aren't bad. Almonds is what we call a good fat. So almonds aren't really bad. They are high in fat, but it is a good fat. So almonds aren't bad. Now, when you get to, because a lot of people, they'll get the almonds with the caramel and the crusted pecans on top of it. Now, when you get to that aspect of it, then it's not healthy. Everything that's raw is good. Raw almonds are good. Yes, Ms. Lakeisha. It just depends on your height, weight, and age. She asked how many calories should she be eating a day. It depends on your height, weight, and age, and then if you're trying to lose or if you're trying to gain. Because some people are trying to gain, so if you're trying to gain, you're going to eat more calories than if you're trying to lose. So I'll give you an example. I think mine is like 1,800. It's about 25, I want to say. But if I'm trying to lose weight, I would eat 500 less in order for me to lose weight. Now, if I want to gain, I would eat 500 more calories. So whatever you would have to go online, and they have like different websites where you can put in your age, weight, and height to find out your BMI. And then you want to, or how many calories you should be eating in a day, and then you want to do 500 less if you're trying to lose weight. Yeah. All right, so tell me what to do. Yes, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I talk about portion control, so like in the palm of your hand, something like that, as far as snacks. He said, what is snacks? You want to make sure it's a portion control. So if you buy a pack of almonds, the whole pack is not a snack. You want to just make sure it's like a portion of it that's your snack. So that's when you would nibble. In that six, remember when they're talking about nibbling, that would be your snack. Or like the string cheese, it's like a little piece of string cheese, or an apple. One apple is your snack, but not two. A lot of times people will snack, but they'll do more and be like, oh, well, it's healthy because it's an apple or because it's something healthy, and they'll eat more of it. You still have to have portion control. All right, the next question, tell me what to do. Next slide. Say no to junk food. That's the key. Next slide. All right. It says that I was researching that people who kept food diaries, if they were trying to lose weight, they actually lost more weight than the person who did not. The reason being is because a lot of times when you don't know what you're eating, you think you're eating healthy or you think you're eating enough and you're actually not. I one time was writing this down, and I was working out twice a day. And I was eating less calories, but my body was retaining it because I wasn't eating enough food. And then that could be a cause, too. You could be not eating enough food. So I know it's strenuous, and I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't feel like keeping up with what I do. My recommendation is keep what you eat. Keep write down what you eat for a whole week and see how it is that you're eating and if it's something that you need to change or if it's something that you need to do more. Okay. Next slide. And then they have stuff online that you can, they have like little books at Barnes & Noble's, or they have stuff online to see how many calories certain foods have in it. One example was I bought this book, I forgot the name of it, but I thought Zaxby's salads were like so healthy. I thought that they were just good. I thought that it was, you know, it was fine. Even the grilled chicken salad had like 1,000, 2,000 something calories in it. So even the Zaxby's, and I think the reason why is because of portion control. Zaxby's give you a lot of salad. They give you a lot of food. So even when I looked into most of the fast food restaurants that I looked at, the only one that was really good to eat from was Chick-fil-A. And they do a really good job at making sure they have healthier foods. So Chick-fil-A was one of the healthiest fast food restaurants that I know of. All right, food shopping, plan ahead. This is for all of my parents or my moms who say that they don't have enough time. Minister Deb is good at doing this. She makes her meals for the week and she freezes them. I tell a lot of my parents, and even if you're single, because a lot of times single people, if you're working late or if you're doing a lot of stuff, you don't feel like cooking. So I say on Sunday should be your shopping and planning and cooking your meals day. If you have, for instance, if you're making chicken or if you're making spaghetti, a lot of times that stuff can last for a couple of days. So you can go ahead and plan it, or you can just go ahead and write out what you're going to eat for dinner that week, and that way you already know. Or you can go ahead and have your food seasoned that morning. So a lot of times if you know what you're going to eat that day, like if you want fish and you want it to be fresh, go ahead and season it and do all of that in the morning time, so when you get home, all you got to do is put it in the oven. Or the George Foreman grill, anything like that. Inform your mind through your actions and planning that there will be quality food available for you. I know a lot of times when people go pick out food, they don't feel like there is good quality food, or they feel like the healthier foods are too expensive. But it is good, healthy foods that you get that are affordable and they're not as expensive. All right, next slide. Food shopping. Read your food labels. I know a lot of you guys don't do that. And like I said, a lot of the stuff that happens with us because we just don't feel like doing it. It's not that it's anything bad, but we just don't feel like seeing what's in this food or how many calories it has or the ingredients it has in it. But if you see, if you look at food labels and if you see that it's high in vegetable oil, like this one right here says that vegetable oil has 77% in it, or if you see stuff with fructose or corn syrup or artificial flavors, a lot of that stuff is probably not healthy for you. So if you are reading the food labels and if it's high in any of those, then it's probably not good for you. Next slide. All right, is there any junk food that can be good for you? Because I know we're talking about a lot of stuff, but is there any junk food that can be good for you? Next slide. All right, dark chocolate, and that's what I talked about earlier. Dark chocolate, and I have an example. It contains flavonoids and an important antioxidant that helps lower blood pressure. So I have an example, Hershey's Special Dark, and it has almonds in it. And then they have the, Guadalajara, yeah. But it's a dark chocolate too. Be sure to look for a cocoa content above 70%. And this one right here, it says cocoa 72%, okay. And then dark chocolate with almonds can be an even healthier alternative as almonds provides healthy fat. So like I said, almonds are a healthy fat. However, nuts are high in calories, so a lot of times you'll see almonds, they are very high, so portion control is the key. So 5 almonds a day. Yes. You can eat more, but you just want to make sure it's portion control. So like at the palm of your hand, you don't want to eat too many, huh? Yeah, first snack. That's what I meant, first snack. This one Hershey bar, because a lot of people crave chocolate, so I understand people do have chocolate things. So yes, this would be your snack. Now, would I do this for my snack? I would not do this for my snack. This can be like an extra perk. This would be my snack. Next slide. Sweet potato fries. So I know that now they're starting to change. You see a lot of fast food restaurants have options like sweet potato fries, or you have restaurants that have sweet potato fries. Only thing with the restaurant, you don't know how much oil they're using at a restaurant. So if you're at home and you want to have sweet potato fries, you can bake them. Those are a healthy alternative. Baking sweet potato fries coated in olive oil can be a great way to turn a traditional junk food into a healthy side dish. Now, olive oil is very important because like if you have butter or margarine, it's solid, right, when it starts off. And then when you cook it, it melts. So when it comes into your body, guess what it turns back into? Solid. So olive oil is important for you because it doesn't turn back solid into your body and cause some of those diseases that we talked about. It contains high levels of fiber and vitamin A, which is an important nutrient for many parts of the body, including the heart. Studies show that the nutrients and antioxidants in sweet potatoes can actually help reduce the risk of cancer. So alternative sweet potato fries. Next slide. Air popped potato chips, and I have an example over there. Those are really good potato chips. Many brands of air popped potato chips are made without artificial preservatives or corn oil. They are bulkier, so they take up more room in the bag. So it doesn't mean eat the whole bag. You still have to have portion control. Because a lot of times those potato chip companies, they'll make them bigger, and so it seems like you're not eating as much, but you can't eat the whole bag, so you have to have portion control. All right, next one. Ice cream. Double churned ice cream contains some more air, but it's still just as creamy as traditional ice cream, so double churned ice cream. Double churned ice cream is made with real cream. It's less likely to include an artificial sweetener. Half a cup of double churned ice cream can be about 100 calories, which is less than many brands of frozen yogurt. So look for slow churn or slow cold. Eddie's, I think, have a slow churned ice cream that you can use. And like I said, everything, is it Eddie's? Edie's, yeah. So like I said, half of a cup. Don't fill up the whole cup. All right, next slide. I did have popcorn on there. Popcorn is a good, it is good for you. It's high in fiber. But the thing with that is portion control. And you don't want to eat the whole large bag of popcorn. You want to make sure you get portion control when you do the popcorn. All right, does anybody have any questions? And like I said, this is a preference. This is just something for you guys to know. Now, what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Because Satan's so sneaky. What's going to happen is, after you get through with this, you're going to need to go home, or you can go somewhere, you're going to be tempted with some junk food. So you have a choice to either not choose the junk food or to choose something healthier, okay? So as you are thinking about it, and a lot of times the reason why we choose unhealthier foods is because we're hungry, so whatever comes to mind, that's what we're going to eat. But if you're constantly eating, you're not going to get to that point where you just have to make a decision. So if you want to make wiser choices at 6 meals a day, it's going to be better for you because you're not going to be more likely to choose something that's unhealthy. Okay? Any questions? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. If you switch up the time, a lot of times it can be because you are, she asked, would it enable you to sleep better if you have a lighter dinner and a heavier lunch? I say yes, because a lot of times you have a heavy dinner and it can cause you to stay up, because some of the foods that you eat for dinner can cause you to stay up. So I would say yes. But I mean, like I said, it's just a preference. Yeah. Yes, Jermaine. Well, sometimes frozen yogurt can have a lot of sugar in it. So you just have to be careful with it. Anything that you eat, I'm just going to say this, anything that you eat, if you have portion control with it, then it won't be bad. A lot of times we get into problems when we overeat or we do too much of it. Because I don't want this to be like a, you can't do this, you can't do that. You still can eat the foods that you like, but you just have to have portion control with it. Yes. Yes, you can eat. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, it won't. It won't kill you. And even with that, just make sure you have portion control. Like I said, I don't want this to be a you can't do this, you can't do that, because you're never going to not eat any of this food. That's just the reality of it. You're never going to not eat junk food. So if you eat it, just make sure you have portion control when you are doing it. Yes. Terry? How important is it? I think it's very important because it tells you, like I said, a lot of the foods that we eat are high in fructose and high in different sugars. So if you are trying to prevent, like, diabetes, hypertension, I think it's very important to know what exactly it is you are eating. Because like I said, that's the energy that you're going to be using. So if you don't have a lot of energy, it could be to do with what you're eating. Now, some stuff is like hyperthyroidism. Like sometimes people have problems with their thyroids. So if you get to a point where you feel like you're doing everything but nothing is really working, it could be something that you might have to go to the doctor to talk to them about, because it could be other issues. But 8 times out of 10, it's not health issues. It's just us being more conscious of what we eat. Yes. Mike, did you have a question? Yes, you can. Yes, Miss Rachel. eating to your blood type. I have not heard about that. That would be something I would look into. I have not heard about it. And if that is the case, that's something that you would need to get from your doctor, because I'm not a dietitian, so I can't recommend and tell you stuff to eat, but that would be something that you would talk to your doctor about. Yes, Ms. Lyesh. What's the latest? She said, what is the latest you should be eating dinner? I've heard no later than 7. Yeah, they say 4 hours before you go to sleep. Yeah, but I say 7. Like I said, if it's to the point where you have to eat something late, drink water and go to sleep. Yes. It's all about consistency. So if you constantly are working out and then you're constantly having days where you just eat whatever you want to, then that's another thing. No, it ain't gonna work that way. But women, we do have times of the month where we crave sugars more, and that is a factor for us. So you just have to be a conscious and be aware of that. So when you do have those cravings, you just want to make sure you have different alternatives, like with the dark chocolate instead of regular chocolates. Yes, Ms. Sharonita. Are there red meats that are easier to digest? Like, give me an example. Yeah. She said lamb. Yeah, I'm not big on red meat, so I can't really answer that question. But Karen said lamb would be something good for you. Yeah. Yes. Right. And like I said, that's something that, like I said earlier, it's something you're never going to not do. You're never going to go the rest of your life not eating junk food, but it does have to do with portion control. And Weight Watchers is a good program that helps you with that. What Weight Watchers does is, remember what I said, that food diary? It gets all of the calories and it counts them for you so you don't have to do it. So that's where the point system comes in, and they've calculated the calories into a point system. So if you are trying to lose weight, if that's something that you're trying to do, then you could go that way. Or you could just count your calories and look on, see how many calories you should be eating in a day. Like I said, this is not really just about dieting. It's just pretty much changing your health factors as far as eating, because the risk factors as far as diabetes and stroke and different things like that. So you might not be trying to lose weight, but you still want to change how you're eating, because, like I said, you have that internal fat inside as well. Yes, really. When I go home, sometimes it depends on if I do it really, really late. Sometimes I do. I probably have more problems because I don't like to go to sleep as soon as I get home if I get home late. So that's one of the things for me. I think it's better to work out early in the morning, because when you work out early in the morning, by the time you come home, you are tired. So people who say they have problems with sleeping, I know they're not working out, because if you're working out, especially in the morning time, you'll go to sleep at night. And then at nighttime, I can't really say if it's better or not, because, like I say, you have to just make the time to do it. So if nighttime is the only time that you have to work out, then you just have to make adjustments to it. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't go into the, because he talked about the different food basics, foods that you need. I didn't go into all of those because a lot of that stuff we aren't really, we are struggling with bread, but a lot of the problems that we're having is with junk food, so that's why I didn't go into all of that stuff. He touched on some of it, like the whole grains last time that you do need, but I just didn't go into that because I wanted to be something practical that everybody does. So some people don't eat. Well, they don't eat a lot of bread, but majority of us do a lot of junk food. So that's the reason why I went into that and I didn't go into that. But we can talk about that next time. So, yes. I'm going to go with Michelle Obama. She says for adults, it should be, I think she said 6. But I'm going to say 5 days a week is good. Now, if you're just starting off 3, it's good. If you're just starting off 3 days a week for exercise, and we're going to talk about exercise in a minute, but I would say 3 times a week. But I think for adults, she recommends for 5, and for kids, she recommended 6 times a week for kids. So that's why we have an obesity problem with kids, because most kids aren't working out 6 times a week. But I'm going to back up with her and say 5. But I know that's challenging for some. It's not as challenging because think about it. You have a routine when you come to work Monday through Fridays. So you just have to find in that routine somewhere in between that. If you're going to come early in the morning, like I said, it's a preference. If you want to come early that morning before you start, or if you want to do it during your lunch break, or if you want to do it afterwards, a lot of times you have a harder time doing it afterwards, especially if you have a job that is very stressful. But working out relieves stress. So if you are having a job that's stressful, working out will help with that. Yes. It can. When you work out late, it can make you stay up later. So then you get into the aspect of your sleep. So you just got to figure out which one you feel is more important. Well, it depends on what time of the night. So if you're working out really, really late, it can keep you up. You will stay up more. If you're trying to get that sleep in and have more energy, I would recommend get the sleep and then try it in the morning. Well, okay, I'm going to say this. There's probably, whatever you eat, there's probably no exercise that you're going to do that's going to burn off all of those calories. So either way it go, you might as well just go to sleep. Because in all actuality, with a Hershey Kiss, it takes 30 to 45 minutes in order for you to burn a Hershey Kiss. So if you're eating more than a Hershey Kiss, then you're going to be working out all night. So that's why I say it's better for you to just go ahead and go to sleep. Yes. Okay. This is going to be the last one, and then we're going to take a break. Yes, and we're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk about exercise next. But he asks, is walking considered working out? And it is. Walking is one of, it's really good. We're going to talk about it next. I'll tell you about walking. So we're going to take a break now, and we're going to get into exercise when we return. If you have any other questions, you can ask me or email me or come talk to me. So you guys can take a break, and we'll come back and resume at 10:45. We'll come back at 10:45.